morning. I want you to sing it like you're going there. Hallelujah. There is.
I have seen some pretty towns.
Oh, yes, sir.
Guess you could say that I've been around. I found no place I wanted to settle down. But there.
Aren't you glad we've got a better place to go to? Isn't it good to be in church this morning? Praise the Lord. Somebody had the courtesy to wish me a happy new year. So praise the Lord for that. God bless ever who sent that in to me this morning. Amen. So good to be in church. I don't care what month it is or what date it is. I'm just glad to be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes this morning while we look at our prayer request. Let me make this announcement. This is the last day for you to update the church directory. If you need to make changes, address, additions to family, phone numbers, etc., whatever changes you need to make, this will be the last day they'll be accepting those. They have the forms over in the library for you to fill out, so if you need to do that, today will be the last day. So remember that. Sister Sherry Hayden sends this in to please pray for my mother. Sister counts. She's having an important, some important tests done, and they're just asking that we would remember her in prayer as we pray. Brother Joel and Sister Tamika Brown, this is a wonderful testimony. We would like to praise God for what he is doing for our little Josiah. Josiah's recent EEG test from about 2.5 weeks ago was normal. Thank you all for your continued prayers for our son. Love and God bless. Isn't that a good testimony this morning? Praise the Lord. Due to a training session for a new job. Sister Teresa Salyer will be flying back and forth to Texas for a couple of weeks. She desires our prayer, so let's remember that as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Alicia Babb. She has a stomach virus this morning. Let's pray for that need. Sister Irene Pierce says, please pray for my brother Everett Beverly. He is on the way to the hospital with breathing problems, so let's remember that need this morning. Brother Gary Harris says, please remember my friend Pete Vandell. He had breathing problems, had to go to the hospital this morning, so we want to remember that prayer request as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins' niece, Judy Self, has a brain tumor. It's cancerous, needs a healing touch from the Lord, also needs salvation, so let's remember that. I want to pray for Sister Anna Alland, sinus and ear infection, so let's remember that this morning. Sister Linda Jablonski says to please pray for a friend of mine in Delaware. Sister Bessie, she's in the hospital. Also, I would like for you to pray for Eddie Jr. He has been in the hospital, but most of all, please pray for his salvation. Thank you and God bless. So let's remember that need this morning. Sister Maria Sponsia says, please pray for my neighbor's son, Derek. He is 14 years old, has been diagnosed with a brain tumor. He is at Vanderbilt. Also pray for his parents, Mike and Wendy Barnes, and their three other children. So let's remember that need as we pray today. A lot of serious things going on. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than our problems? We've seen him come on the scene too many times to ever doubt him now, haven't we? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's just sing that little chorus, thanks, as Brother Daniel comes this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. But let's thank him for what he has done, is doing, and is going to do. Do you believe that this morning? We want to say thanks, thanks, I give you thanks, oh.
I'd like to say I appreciate your prayers for my brother David. He's having quite a few lung problems right now. They found some mold and some dust in his lungs, and they're trying to get clear up so that they can get his oxygen count back up again. So just remember him when you pray. I was thinking of a story I hear a long time ago, and I might have told it in the church here, about a man that had a factory that it was shut down, the windows was broken, there was trash all outside the building, the roof was leaking, it was just in bad shape. And a realtor found a buyer for it, and they met with the owner that owned the building, and while they was talking, the owner spoke up, and he said, well, now he said, I'll take care of all the damage, I'll fix the roof, I'll clean up the property. The man spoke up and he said, oh no. He said, we're going to tear the building down. We just want to build a new plant there where this whole building is. And I thought, well now, isn't that just like our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, he don't want our old nature. He don't want this old man that living down inside of us, or used to live down inside of us. But he's going to make a new creation out of us. I think the Bible says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Let's pray for these requests. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church again today. What a privilege it is to serve you, Lord Jesus. And God, we just thank you for the service that we was in last night. God, how you came up on the scene, how you spoke through our pastor, Brother Dying, how you blessed our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray for this congregation today. God, every request, every need, that I hold in my hand. I pray that you move for them, Lord Jesus. God, that you heal, that you save, and that you deliver. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you move right now. And God, we pray that you'll be with those, God, that's over the internet in our fellowship hall. Move for them, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us that we'll be more faithful than we ever been in our life. God, during this season, holiday season, during Thanksgiving, Christmas, how thankful, God, we as Christians should be for this opportunity to worship you. God, we pray now that you'll take this service, that you'll move by your Holy Ghost, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here this morning, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service today, we certainly pray the service will be a blessing to those folks. We want to welcome some folks this morning. Brother Samuel, Esther, Sarah, and Nordic visiting from Norway. They attend Brother Ryerson's assembly. Where would you folks be? Would you just raise your hand this morning? Help me find them. Where are they? Right over here. God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Amen. Certainly appreciate you being here. And I know we've got some other folks visiting. Brother Nathan Bryant, some of his folks is here this morning. He's going to be singing again this morning. We certainly enjoyed him last night. And, well, we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song. We've got a couple of specials. We'll give plenty of time to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Did you enjoy the Word of the Lord last night? Was it encouraging to you? Amen. Let's sing about it, buddy. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping.
As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. But ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. His heart of mine, he gave me life again. I am just a house.
Oh, I wish you'd help us sing it.
But ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me.
Aren't you glad?
All the world to see.
praise. You love him with all your heart. Oh, thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory. Let's sing a little chorus just before we have our special. Sister Lisa Cutts, if you come onto the platform. Brother Nathan Bryant, if you'd come onto the platform. We can have a couple of songs this morning. Let's sing about the greatest name that's ever been on the face of the earth. How great thou art. How great is your God this morning? Is he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Where would you be without him today, church? What kind of shape would we be had he not looked down and loved us? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
God bless you.
The future home of the heavens. Good to be in church again. Now and then an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me where I've been, what's on my mind. They wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town on red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and that old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes, have that same old name. Sure, looking on the outside, if you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. For the old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life, had no hope inside. I was lost in darkness, just searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus. Now that old man is dead. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Oh, and the man you see may look a lot the same. I may wear those same clothes, have that same old name. But you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see for the old man is dead. Yes, the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear those same clothes, have that same old name. But you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. For the old man is dead. Yes, you're just looking on the outside. For the old man is dead.
Thank God for that. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's read verse 18 again. But we all, that's not every human being, of course, but all of those which have been born again. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray together over the word now. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads today, we are grateful, Lord, that for many of us standing here in this building, as our brother Nathan just sang, we have experienced a new birth. A spiritual metamorphosis has taken place inside of our soul. We are so grateful, dear God, that a new image has been stamped upon our soul. We have been regenerated by the power of God. And Lord, we are so thankful that the same one who breathed the image into Adam has came by our way and breathed into us. Lord, may you speak to us today from your word. We're a needy people, but God, we bring all of our needs before you. We pray that you would just anoint us today with your own presence, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. By creation in the first man, there was a divine image that God had given to Adam. God himself was mirrored or reflected in his creation of this man. As we looked at last night, the image of God, when Adam bore that image, he could not fall. He could not backslide. He could not stray away from that image. But when God merged the image of God into the image of beast, which was later called the image of man, then it made man more vulnerable. Made man to where he could choose something that was actually contrary to his own good, of really what he needed to accomplish. And as God portrayed this story, God was making certainly a bigger story than just the one man, Adam. It was the whole program of God that was laying out before us, really, when we look at it in the book of Genesis. And then Paul, as he's writing of those that are with an open face, an unveiled face, to look into the glass or the mirror, that we would see the glory of the Lord. Now you realize that when we talk about using a mirror, especially when it comes to the word, that there's a couple of perspectives that we have to look at in order to keep it straight, or we get the types construed. And that is that there is one type of looking at a mirror by which that we use the word itself as a mirror. And whenever the word is preached, then we take this image, which is merged, the divine image of the soul, merged into the body, and then we look in front of that mirror, and we see our shortcomings, our failures, our faults, and all of that when we look into the mirror. And then when we see that, by God's grace, we ask God to help us. But when we read this scripture here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that is not the type. We're not talking about the Bible being used as a mirror and us looking into the mirror and seeing our faults. This is not the example at all that Paul is now using. But now he's moving into a different reflection of the mirror by which the mirror is actually used to be able to see the glory of God. So if you're still bringing your beast, your image of the outside, before the mirror of 2 Corinthians 3:18, you will always be disappointed, you will always be defeated, and you'll never have a victorious life. Because you're holding up the mirror of 2 Corinthians 3:18, and you're supposed to be seeing the reflected image of the glory of God, but instead you're seeing your mistakes, your shortcomings, your failures, and you will never be able to bring this beast before that image and see anything that excels. It'll always be short of that image. You understand? Now, whenever we look, and only those who are born again of the Spirit of God can even be able to fulfill this anyway. Other people don't have the capability of doing that because they don't have the divine image of God birthed in them. What is the new birth anyway? The new birth, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. When Brother Bam tells us that the new birth, it is Christ revealed to you in the new birth. What is the new birth? It's actually the image of Christ himself stamped upon your soul. So it's not you, just you as a little bitty baby. What would you need with another you? Why do I need another Donnie Reagan or another Jim Whitson or another Jim Babb
or another Darrell Warren. We don't need another one of them. But we need the image that God had in his mind that would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, the denominational concept, and it's sad to say, but any meaning around the message, is to be able to believe doctrine. That's what they think that it's all about. It's one doctrine after another doctrine, another doctrine. Adam did not have a doctrine in his soul. He had an image. You think in eternity we're going to be sitting around discussing and serpent seed and the doctrine of election and this doctrine and that doctrine. Look, friend, eternity is not based upon doctrines. It is based upon a person. That's right. To many folks, that's all this message is. It's one doctrine and another to many preachers. That's all they know how to preach. You know why? It's easier to preach a doctrine than it is a person that you don't know. That's right. All you got to do is study to preach doctrine. But when you're going to preach a person, you're going to have that person inside of you projected in the right way, or you'll never bring him out in the right perspective. Now notice, when we then behold, as it were, in a glass. So whenever we look into the glass, then we don't see the image of a man or woman or boy or girl when we're talking of this image now. We're not supposed to see the image of, well, my mistakes and my shortcomings and my fears and my complexes. You've got the wrong person looking in the wrong mirror. Now notice, Paul said, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, which is not you. The glory of the Lord is not me. So then we behold with an open face. That's not the face of the human being. That is not the face that you were born in, but that is an open face, an unveiled face. Lord, when I get to you in a week or so, but let me just drop this to you right now. That whenever Jacob, as you looked at it a week or so ago, that whenever Jacob met the Lord, after Jacob met the Lord, then Jacob met Jacob. Then after Jacob met Jacob, then the Lord introduced Jacob to Israel. Then after Jacob met the Lord and Jacob met Jacob and then Jacob met Israel, then Jacob was ready to meet Esau. But the problem with us is we meet Esau first before we meet the Lord. But we'll never go anywhere with God until we first meet God, and then we have to meet ourselves and find out that we've got all kinds of things about us that needs to be changed. And then once we meet that, then the Lord can introduce us to the real self. Amen. Don't you understand that Jacob had to meet Israel? He never knew he was Israel until he met the Lord. I never knew I had a theophany. I never knew the real me till I really met the Lord through the revealing of this word in the end time. Then once I meet that, then I'm ready to meet my enemy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you realize that as we look at this, we spoke about it a little bit last night on contemplation. Let's watch this, how Paul says this: with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. So it's not just a mere gaze of looking into that to be able to see Jesus hanging on a cross and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Will that ever bring a person from glory to glory? Not very far. You see, for preachers who only preach Jesus dying on the cross, you look at their church and you look at their life, it'll pretty well tell you where they are. If they never go on to preach sanctification and holiness and purity and a godly walk before God, they will never go beyond what they're seeing reflected in that mirror. So every Sunday, Jesus died for the lost. Jesus died for the lost. Jesus died for the lost. Well, that's good for the lost, but what are you going to feed on if you ain't lost no more? You know what? I love to hear good salvation sermons, but they don't really apply to me because I'm not lost. As a matter of fact, I ain't been lost for about 40 some years now. I've been saved for the majority of my life, so I need more than just somebody telling me how to get saved. I don't need to get saved. I don't need to get the Holy Ghost. I don't need to lay aside smoking. I don't need to lay aside many of those things, but I do need a body change. So I've got to feed on something that will help me to get from one stage of glory to another stage of glory to another stage of glory until I become that glory. Oh, hallelujah. Now you realize with any mirror, you cannot be able to reflect glory without that mirror being clean. Now it may seem phenomenal to you, but actually as you peer into the mirror, you actually become the mirror yourself. But the only way for you and I to be able to reflect this borrowed glory, and it is truly a borrowed glory because it's not our own, it is a glory which Christ himself places in our lives. And the only way we can continue to reflect that glory is to keep our lives clean. So in order for us to be able to reflect Christ, it's more than saying and talking and all that. No matter how much we preach righteousness and purity, if it doesn't live out of our lives, out of a clean mirror, then people will look at what we say, but they'll also see how we live. And then they'll look and say, I ain't got no confidence in that woman. I ain't got no confidence in that man because I work with them on the job and I've had business dealings with them and I know this about them and that about them. So really what they say doesn't have much power because the life they're living is so smudged up with filth and dirt. And when somebody tries to look in the mirror, they see a liar in the mirror. Or they look and they see a gossiper in the mirror. Now from the mouth of the individual, oh, I love God, I'm a Christian, I'm the greatest Christian ever was, I'm this and that and the other. That's not necessarily what people look at, but they look at the mirror of your life. Then when you hold that life up and they see you doing this and that and the other, you're not going to be able to bring anybody to the Lord Jesus with a smuttered up mirror. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. So in order for us to be able to reflect Christ as a mirror ourselves, we've got to be clean. You sisters want to be example? Then be the right kind of lady. Your brothers want to be an example? Be the right kind of men. The same for preachers, deacons, for all of us. We have to be able to have a polished life. Now remember when they were talking about a mirror, that was not talking about a piece of glass the way we use today. But it was a burnished piece of brass. And the more you polish that brass, the brighter the image would reflect. Same with the gold. So whenever the mirror reflecting would compare to the New Testament, it was taking the gospel and shining and polishing and burnishing and shining and polishing your life. And the more you polished it, the more the image reflected through you. Oh, thank God for preaching. I said, thank God for preaching. Now, we all want to be a beautiful, bright mirror, but thank none of us, I don't guess, really likes to have our old hide preached on. Thank none of us likes to be rebuked and like to be corrected, but yet we want to be a mirror. We cannot be both at the same time. We must have the polishing, the burnishing, in order to be able to let the reflected image of Christ shine through our lives. Now, unlike us, Adam had this image that was created in him. He was created this before he was actually put into the beast. But notice this, our lives, and according to what Paul said in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the rhema. Now, how our lives are constantly going to be washed and burnished in order to be a reflection of the image of Christ. How is it? By hearing of the word. So when we hear that word, it washes us and separates us again from that uncleanness. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. What kind of church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the believers then are to manifest the word of the hour. The message of the hour has not reached its perfection, don't get mad, whenever it's just in book and tape form. The Bible was wonderful. It's wonderful. Written right here on pages, but it's not reached its perfection. Malachi 4 caused no trouble as long as it's in the Bible. But when Malachi 4 was made flesh, oh, the devil started getting all tore up. Luke 17:30 never caused no church split ups. It never set you free neither. But when Luke 17:30 was made flesh, it delivered me from Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 10 never caused no trouble as long as it was wrote in the Bible. But when Revelation 10 was made manifest, the seals come open. It's the same thing with prophecies about the bride. Scriptures about the bride are wonderful in the Bible. But when they go into action is when those scriptures are made flesh. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What's this now in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Paul said, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. Now this is the same word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians about being changed. So there's something about beholding that has the power to change. If your beholding has the right depth of degree, and the degree by which you are looking is able to reflect the light so brilliantly through you that you become a transparent Christian, that the life of God so shines through you that people know you're Reagan or Smith or Brown or whatever you are, and they know the traits and the strains that's in you, but they see a life that is so under the control of the Holy Ghost that it's not the Reagan strain that they notice so much. It's not that that they sticks out to them, but it's knowing that you are born again. They say, man, I know that guy. That guy, look at all of his brothers. Look at all of his family. They're all murderers and liars and this and that and the other. What is the difference in him? It's because he looks in the mirror so much. I said it's because he looks in the mirror so much. Now this kind of primping won't hurt you. Glory. As clear water represents the image of the person looking into the water, so Christ becomes that word in such a transparent reflection that the Spirit of God, our lives molded and polished by Him through the purity of the washing of the water of the Word, that when Christ looks down on a heart that is so polished, mirror clean, that He's able to see His own reflection and look right back at Himself. Lord Jesus, may God help us, children. Can you imagine what Christians would be on this hillside if the Lord Jesus can look in the mirror of my life? And Jesus won't see Donnie. And Jesus won't see Terry. But Jesus would actually look in my life, and my life is so washed by water that He would see His own reflection in my life. Oh, thank God. It's entertainable. Now watch, Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You mean to tell me the bride is going to prove what the will of God is? Paul didn't say that God would prove it, but you would prove it. Who's going to prove the will of God for my life? Brother Wes? Brother Larry? I am. I'm going to prove what He wants. What do you say? I'm going to mirror His thoughts that He had of me before the foundation of the world. I'm not going to spend my life wondering, am I supposed to be a preacher? Am I supposed to be at Happy Valley? Am I supposed to do this? I ain't wasting my time wondering what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to find out what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do it. And there ain't enough devils in hell to run me off from what God wants me to do. Come on, children. Many of you have wasted years of your life trying to find even what church you go to. And then you come here and go, I don't know if I belong here or not. Maybe I should leave. Maybe I should go somewhere else. Maybe what you need to do is finalize where you belong. You need to get an understanding from God and say, this is my church, this is my pastor, wherever it is, this is where I belong, and I ain't leaving until God tells me otherwise. You realize as we look into a mirror, it is what is termed an effigy. An effigy is an image of a person, an image or representation, especially of a person. So somehow, Brother Don, you're telling me that by beholding the glory of the Lord, an effigy appears in this mirror that is transformed. I'm supposed to look into the mirror and a transformation or a metamorphosis so happens that when I look into the mirror, and I know it's me, and I know the mirror's in my hand, but you're telling me when I look in the mirror, I'm supposed to see the glory of God? You see, the impression of the image, the divine image of God, is so reflected on a pure heart and can only be on a pure heart. That pure heart, He can take that heart in His hands and see His own image in that heart. I know we ain't deep today, but we're right down where you live. Like it or not, this is the kind of preaching that'll put you in the rapture. You see, friends, a life of contemplation actually becomes a life of complete assimilation. So to contemplate, to look, to study, to peer into something long enough, we become that. Your little girls become, how many princesses do they have now anyway? When my little girls was growing up, it was, you know, Cinderella or maybe two or three of them, and now they got all kinds of them. And there's something about that that catches a little girl's attention. And there's something about a boy with a gun or a truck or something or another, and yet that image before them has something about it. You know that Alexander the great conqueror, they said that much of what he got his inspiration from being a conqueror was reading Homer's book or his writing of the Iliad. Much of what he learned in conquest, because he was a great general, had great strategy. But yet in reading this by his mentor and his teacher, as he was raised up in the Greek school with a private tutor, that as he began to read this, that Alexander the Great could not get away from Homer's Iliad. Pontius Pilate, or Julius Caesar, and also the King 12th of Switzerland. He studied the life, both of them, of Alexander. And they used his tactics, his war maneuvers. And they so become so involved in the image of this man and the way that he done. They begin to reflect his image in Jerusalem. Or reflect his image, in Switzerland. They studied on how he fought. They studied on his tactical maneuver, and they practiced those things until they become an effigy. They became an effigy of Alexander the Great. Oh, I wanted to study the life of my Lord. I want to see how he fought. I want to see how he loved. I want to see how he cared until I can become an effigy of Jesus Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. If Homer's Iliad would do that to Alexander the Great, what will this book do to your son? What can this book do to your daughter? What can it do to you? Let's look at this word. Paul says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. The word changed is the same word translated transfigured in the accounts of our Lord's transfiguration, Mark 17 and also Matthew 17 and Mark 9:1. So here Paul uses the exact same word that as we behold, we actually are transfigured. Not going to be, but are. It describes a change on the outside that begins first on the inside. Our English word, let me share this with you. Our English word, metamorphosis, is a transliteration of this same Greek word. Metamorphosis describes the process that changes an insect from a larva into a pupa and then into a mature insect, and the change comes from within. So notice, in metamorphosis, there are three pulls or three stages. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah. Metamorphosis is a biological process by which an animal physically develops after birth or hatching. So metamorphosis actually takes place after you're born. You cannot metamorphosize unless you've got a birth. Woo! This is why the church will never metamorphosize into a rapture, because most of them aren't born again. So here Paul says that we are changed or translated, or we are going through a metamorphosis. Notice it involving a conspicuous and relatively abrupt change in the animal's body structure through cell growth and differentiation. So the cells actually start being changed in the animal's body. Oh, it's making the story more clear about last night, why I needed an animal's body still left. Metamorphosis has got to be complete in this animal body. My theophany don't need a metamorphosis, but an animal body does. Hallelujah. My soul has already been raised in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but I've got to enter that final stage of the cocoon before my body can be changed. Notice this metamorphosis, which is usually accompanied by a change of habitat or behavior. I guarantee you one thing, when I get my glorified body, I won't want to live here. In a moment after I'm changed, I'll be ready to leave this and look for a new habitat. I want to walk down different streets, don't you? Now, how is it then that we change by looking? How does a butterfly change? Is it by looking? No. A butterfly does not have a mirror constantly before him that he looks. But with him in that stage, all he knows is he is so hungry, he can't stand it. So he eats. And he eats and eats. I know I can't do it like Brother Jewel does. I mean, he's the premier preacher when it comes to that butterfly. But yet that little guy, the only thing is that something in him. And he eats himself from stage one to stage two to stage three. He has no mirror. It's not like that God is showing a mirror. Look, this is what you're going to be. You're going to be a monarch butterfly. You're going to be beautiful. You're going to be orange and black and have beautiful black antennas. Oh, you're going to be so beautiful. Come on, come on, come on. Now you can do it. He don't have that. He's a... And ugly? Oh, my goodness. I don't want to bring up y'all's past, but I'm going to tell y'all, when some of y'all started just pretty fat, ugly, blowed out cheeks, when God got a hold of you, that stage of your life, some of you come up here and, boy, you got to cry and pray, and your green run together with your black and model together with your red. Boy, you're a funny looking thing. I'm telling you that right now. Had that hair all chopped off and some of you men looking like sissies. Started out a pretty awful looking mess. But look at you this morning. You know why? You moved from that glory over to another glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we meditate upon God's word and we're born again, can you imagine the power that it has upon a converted soul? It doesn't have the same power now in an unconverted person. They'll read the word, guys, oh, that's wonderful. My, that is so wonderful. Oh, that is really good. And you know what? The Bible today, to many folks, it's just become a self-help book because they got psychologists in the pulpit preaching. How to better yourself. How to be a better man. How to be more rich. How to have more Mercedes. How to have a bigger BMW. How to have a bigger this and a better that. You can be a better person. You can be better. You can be better. You can do this and you can do that. But they don't ever tell them how to live. It's all just confessing what you are. Confessing what you are. Confessing what you are. Well, for the most of them, they're confessing what they are not. They're actually confessing what we are. Oh, glory. Because only the elect of God are most of those scriptures they're talking about in the first place. So some look, but they just look long enough to know Jesus as Savior. So they catch a glimpse and they say, I'm sick of this drinking. I'm sick of this marijuana. I'm sick of all this stuff. And they look long enough and the preacher said, he'll forgive you. They said, I want it. I want to be forgiven then. Oh, praise God. I accept him as my Savior then. But then the preacher never goes on and says, hey, you know what? He wants to be your Lord now. He wants to have a say over your music. He wants to have a say over everything you do in your life. Absolutely everything. No secret passages in your life when Jesus is your Lord. And they said, no, I'm not interested in that. Well, you know what? They'll never move from the saving stage up to the next glory stage of being master. So what do? They spend their entire Christian walk right there that they call the foot of the cross. They never go on. They never learn how to overcome. They never learn how to be a real, real victorious Christian. Come on, church. Are they living in the glory of the cross? They are. But they never move beyond it. I love the cross. Thank God for the cross. Hang on. I need more than hearing about the preaching of the cross. You say, that's blasphemy, is it? Then you tell me why John, the man who stood at the cross, when he writes the epistle of John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, also the book of Revelation, why don't he preach the cross every chapter? Why is it that he hardly even refers to it? Peter wasn't even there at the cross. Matthew wasn't even there at the cross. John was. You imagine the imprint, the cross, physical cross made on John. He would never get over. How come he didn't preach every sermon on Sunday morning about the cross? Because John knew the power of the cross is more than two pieces of wood tacked together with Jesus dying on it. He was preaching the power of the cross by the gospel that God had gave him. Some look and they see, hey, you know what? A person can live closer to God. These old cigarettes is hindering me. I need to get rid of them. This old Jack Daniels and this old Crow and all this other stuff, that ain't right for a Christian. This marijuana, I don't care how many states legalize it, it's still wrong. Of course, probably a lot of our congressmen and senators is on it when they're voting. What are we passing? Out for it. God have mercy on our nation, children. It's pitiful. It's pitiful where we are. But God's still got a standard. And you're going to shine now more than ever before. Other people look and say, oh, now there's got to be a closer wall. And then some say, you know what? I hear tell there's some gifts. And there's some real things in there where a person goes, really? And they gaze. And they gaze. And then they go looking through the scriptures about gifts. Oh, my. They say, wow, wow. And you know what? God in his love and mercy, God will give them to them. Rebecca wasn't the only one who got gifts from the coming of Eliezer. Her brother got gifts. Her mother got gifts. But they wasn't a bride. Our loving Father, people want to speak in tongues, he'll let them. They want to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, he'll let them. But others look and they get say, yes sir, praise God, that's it. Pentecostal experience, amen. And they think, you mean there's more than that? Like a little caterpillar. And somebody may tell him, have you ever heard about a prophet coming in the last days? You ever heard of Malachi 4? Because you know what folks do today? They Google it. You better go back to what was before Google. And when there is no more Google, there'll still be this. Has become many folks absolute. It's their doctor, it's their lawyer, it's their nurse, it's their pastor. Well, glory. So they go to Google, Malachi 4, William Branham. Oh, my Lord. Oh, dear God, look at all this false prophet. Look at all this. And you just. False prophet, liar. Boy, it tears you all to pieces. You just go. They're going to hell for following that false prophet. And you just keep. Look at all the mistakes we found. And boy, it tears you all to pieces. You just go. Why? There's a life in you. There's a life in you that's calling for the advancement. There's a life in you that's calling for metamorphosis. Do you honestly think a caterpillar can spell metamorphosis?
Do you think a caterpillar can explain metamorphosis? Do you think that it's a doctrine to him? It ain't a doctrine, it's a driving force. Hallelujah! Predestination is not just a doctrine to me. It is a driving force in my soul. The rapture is not just a doctrine. It is a driving force in my soul. Hallelujah to God. This message is not just a bunch of doctrines.
You imagine trying to talk that little caterpillar into backsliding. Imagine asking if he wants to go down to dance. Hey, buddy, we're having a gathering down at the bar tonight. You want to gather down and drink with us? I don't walk pop.
Is that all you do, eat?
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, you need to get a life.
I'm working on it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm working on it. But it ain't a life of worldlyism. It ain't a carnal life. It's a metamorphosis.
So some look and they get a little bit of a change. Others look a little more and they get a little more change. But the caterpillar just keeps on looking and eating. Amen. He ain't going to waste no time looking where he's been because everything behind him is down to eat up.
Why go back? Why would I want to go to Pentecost? It was barely keeping me alive when I left it years ago. You want to go back to Baptist? I feel sorry for you. Everything behind me is done dead. Everything behind us is dried up and died. There's only one direction for life, and it's in front of it. It's in front of us, Brother Jim. Don't you understand Satan's purpose for aggravating you? It's to get your eyes off of him.
Our human nature is intensely assimilative in that it has the ability to assimilate so much stuff and to become transformed by that stuff if we're not careful. Now watch, Paul says, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And you know, whenever we come to the Lord, it is a burst of monumentous glory initially when it happens. And it's one miracle, one great power of God that transforms our life. But you know what? It doesn't mean that every day of your life is going to be glory, 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 glory. Oh, you'll sing it when you're saved. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory. Next Sunday you come in. How you doing, brother? Pray for me. It ain't as easy as I thought it was going to be. Man, I've been having some real battles.
What is it, belly aches? Is it belly aches? Is that what it is? You're eating so much and you're in that caterpillar stage and then you feel like, if I eat another bite, I'm going to blow up. Scientifically explain to me how this little creature can eat and eat and eat. Do you understand in relativity compared to your size? The amount that they eat in a day's time would be like you eating a dump truck load of food. Where does it all go? They're not making babies. Where does it all go?
Lord have mercy.
It's going inside of them to lead to a change. You say, well, where's all these sermons going? Brother Donnie, when you're home, you preach three times a week. Brother Darrell preaches. Brother Horn preaches. I've heard hundreds and hundreds and thousands of sermons. Where's it all going? You're assimilating it down in your soul. And you're eating and feeding and eating and feeding. And some of it is for next week. Some of it for 2 months from now. Some of it is to sustain you today. It may never be used again. But every bit of it is right on time.
You imagine how Paul, in writing this, many of these people that would have received this would have been Greeks. So when he would have used this word, metamorphosis, this is in their mother tongue. So for them to relate, because many of them were much more in touch with the nature than what we are today, to relate to themselves as being a larva stage of a butterfly. Now, if they are that, no doubt they must have had an image before them with wings and antennae. And their whole digestive tract changes. How do I get from this long, green, fat, yucky looking thing to this beautiful orange, white, black butterfly? You go from glory to glory, to glory. Now, is every day glorious? No. Some days are more in the fulfillment of that glory stage that you entered into 6 months ago. Or a year ago. Now, I realize, friends, that as children, that many of us, we would prefer every day of our life would be a glory life. Remember that I was talking about before church? Many preachers, this is the way they want their ministry to be. They want their ministry to be constant. Glory, 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 glory. You break every type of the Old Testament and the New when you preach it that way. Moses was not that way. Abraham was not that way. Paul was not that way. Hang on. Even Jesus was not that way. And Brother Branham was not that way. Brother Branham had great glorious times and there's times when he had down times. You're going to have that as a child of God. Every preacher is going to have it. There's going to be times God will drop things in a preacher's heart. He'll be on a high for maybe months. And then he'll go down through gleaning off that last high he was on. And there'll be times he'll turn through his Bible and can't find nothing to say. He'll listen to tapes and he can't find it. He's backslid. He's going in that spot from T.O., from glory to glory. He's in the T.O. You ever been in the T.O. with me? Oh, I love it when the T.O. lasts about 5 seconds. And then I'm right back up on the glory again. Man, when he gets over 5 seconds, I want it to change. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. Every one of you going to come in here and whatever your great idea of victory is. Some of you shouting, some of you crying, this, that, the other. Man, you say, boy, that was the appetizer. Come on now, Lord, let's have church. All right, I'm ready Wednesday night. It's going to get greater. I'm coming back next time and even going to get greater. God said, oh no, that ain't the way it works with me. It's from glory to glory to glory. But that glory might start on Saturday night and you might not hit it again until 3 months from now or next Saturday night. And that's when we show our colors. Because if a great glory stage hits us on Saturday night, but Sunday morning, we're still on the hangover. You know, we're going, glory to God. Woo, boy, God revealed something to me last night. I'm still drunk on the Holy Ghost. Woo, man alive. By Tuesday, it's wore off. By Wednesday, you drag in. Oh, God. Oh, God. I think I'll stay home and stream tonight. And then by Saturday night, who's preaching? Brother Jim, who's preaching? Brother Donnie out of town? Might be another Dollywood weekend. Brother Donnie's out of town. Gallop all the young'uns. Let's take the station wagon and go down. Another Dollywood weekend. The Lord knows I'm so stressed out. Don't worry, you won't hear that at Dollywood. And then if you do come back Sunday morning, I mean, you're dragging in. You used to sit up here, and now you sit back, and then you sit on back there by next Wednesday night. God, what's wrong? God, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. You're exactly on the pattern of Abraham. You're exactly on the pattern of Jacob. You're exactly on the pattern of Joseph and Isaac. You're on the pattern of Elijah. Elijah going up there and called fire out of heaven and then run from one woman. What was it? He was in between the stages of glory to glory. Yeah.
Oh, brother, that's what I want to show my callers, though. I want to come in here when I don't feel like it. I want to preach when I don't feel like it. I want to clap my hands when I don't feel like it. I want to pray when I don't feel like it.
That's why sometimes folks look at preachers and they say, don't they ever have any trials? When you get a few thousand years, come over and I'll tell you about some. What you want me to do, stand up here and preach about what all I'm going through? By the time I get done, you'll be so low and saying, dear God, I'm not sure we can even make it. Or should I stand up here and tell you how great our God is? How great the victory is. How great His power. Are we going through things? We are. But we will come through on the other side. We want to wallow in what we've been through. Or we want to point to where we're going. Your trials can take your view away from the purpose of God if you're not careful. So when you little larvae come in here and sit down. And you squash in and sit down. That's why I study and study and study and study. That when I walk out them doors, I want to have a diet that is so full of omega-3s, vitamin A's, B's, C, and D's. I want all the B complexes because they give you energy. I want the C's because they help drive away and build up your immune system. I want D's because they have to do with sunshine, you understand? When I walk out of there, I want to have a meal so loaded up that when you sit down and go to eat, you're like, excuse me, Brother Donnie. Ooh, keep on feeding. Man, that was good. Oh, wow. Wasn't that good about that image? Oh, boy. Wasn't that good? You're just sitting there. Oh. And you get up and crawl out of church. That's the way some of y'all do it, rhymes. Or Lone Star, wherever you eat at, you know, oh, I'm so full. I wonder how many of y'all sinned on Thanksgiving Day. And that turkey and that ham and that green bean casserole, broccoli and whatever more you had there, and you ate and you ate and you know, some of you done without breakfast. Oh boy, I got your number now. You done without breakfast. You come in and man, I'm waiting for this. I'm so excited about that. If Thanksgiving dinner would excite you, what about the Word of God that is brought from the mind of God by a servant of God anointed by the Holy Ghost? We ought to be chomping at the bits every time we come through them back doors back under. I love the word that Paul uses here because this word change. It's used in the Greek in the present tense. The present tense implies a gradual transfiguration. Now Jesus, they look at Jesus, and in one moment, He was the Jesus they knew. And another moment, He was the Jesus they didn't know. With the glory that He had with Him before the world began. Now it was not weeks or months or hours, but it was an instantaneous and He was totally transfigured before them. Your change and my change in our walk with God will not be that way. But it will be a gradual change. I guarantee you one thing, friends. You'll never find a state trooper pulling over a larva stage caterpillar and giving him a speeding ticket. Unless a trooper's smoking marijuana. Think about it. How did they move, Brother Jim? Slow. But see, the problem is he don't know himself as a butterfly yet. You look over here in the chains and you say, I'm a butterfly in the making. I want to get there now. I want to get there right now, Lord. I've had all this I can take. I've been safe for 6 months. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to take all the world. I'm ready for a body change. But God says, move at my speed. This way I am whenever I watch a preacher that preaches real slow. I mean, it bothers me. Whenever a preacher just preaches real slow and he stands up here and just takes several seconds to think anything, I'm ready to set him down. I mean, it, you don't know what a trial I go through. So I'm thinking, come on, man, say it. Spit it out. And this is us as Christians. We're running a race. It's the race of the caterpillars. But you see, some in our ranks don't like this speed. So they're racehorses. Ah, but they'll miss the transformation. Come on! So the caterpillar just inches along, eating as he goes. Eating as he goes. Doctrines come through. Trials of life come through. Tears him all to pieces. He just keeps on eating. He don't even go to this website and that website because he ain't got time. He's too busy eating. A lot of you'd be better off keep your head out of that trash and feed. A lot of you spend way too much time on Facebook worrying about a cherry pie when that cherry pie may not do nothing but give you a bellyache. You better spend a little bit more time reading your Bible and listening to the message of the hour. You'll be a lot better off to spend more time right here instead of social media. Come on, don't you get quiet on me, Happy Valley. That social media is not going to change you like this word will. Faith in Christ introduces a person to salvation. But don't you mean these people are saved? No doubt many of them are saved. Saved, yes. Have they accepted Christ as their Savior? Absolutely. Are many of them sanctified? Couldn't get to the front door in sanctification. Baptism in the Holy Ghost? They believe they got that when they got saved. So will they go any farther? Not much. They'll get a psychological teacher with all kinds of self-help. And they'll learn how to help themselves more and more and more. But will they grow in God? No, they won't. Because they want to grow so fast. They want a man to become this. And there you are. And they said, man, we left you all behind 40 years old. You're still in that message the way you brought them. Y'all still feeding all that stuff?
Sure.
Pardon me. Whew. Boy, that was a powerful bite. Man, alive. Oh, I see why I had a hard time swallowing that. That's from the tape, Who is Jesus? Topeka, Kansas, 1964. Now the time has come that we must recognize who's in our city today. The Lord Jesus himself, impersonated in human flesh. Glory to God! Oh, but the world said, oh man, y'all need to move beyond that. Y'all need to get beyond that. We're trying our best. Ain't it fun being a Christian? Ain't it just fun being a Christian? Then all of a sudden, something moves that little guy. And he starts moving into another stage. Silk starts projecting from his mouth. And he starts wrapping himself up. And he gets inside this chamber. And he's sealed in. He can't get out and nobody else can get in. There ain't room for your daddy, ain't room for your brother, ain't room for your wife. It's just you and metamorphosis. It's just you and life. And you are sealed in. And let them laugh and make fun. Let them criticize and ridicule you. At this stage, it don't matter no more. At this stage, let them say whatever they want. Because the silk has projected from our mouth and created around us a condition by which we will be able to be changed from within ourselves. And scientists don't wait and watch till they make the cocoon, the pupa stage, and then they come and inject with a hypodermic needle. Life-changing serum. But there they hang. And they'll pick a broad leaf or three or four narrow leaves. And they'll come and attach it over here. So they're hid away from the world. And all of a sudden inside their body, things start happening. Their digestive tract changes. Their body becomes liquid. We shall be changed. Their digestive tract is gone. Their body becomes a liquid that if you'd open it up and look and say, what a mess! You don't even look like what you did. And you don't look like what you're supposed to. Where you at? I'm in this stage of the glory. Listen to me, Happy Valley. You want to know where we are? We're in this stage of the glory. It may be liquefying on the inside. We may be hanging up high and waiting. What for? The time of the change. Hallelujah. He is 8 and 8 and 8 and 8. And now his digestive tract dissolves inside the cocoon. His silk making ability is gone. And he's changing from within. You see, the rapture is only for the raptured. The resurrection is for the resurrected. That's why I know I ain't going to miss the rapture, because I've already had a taste of the rapture in my soul. You imagine as they hang there and they hang there in the darkness. Their eyes change. Their eyes are reshaped and reformed. Their mouth changes. Their antenna begin to form on their head. Or they had little feet that would help them up through justification and sanctification. Now wings start growing on their back. Oh, glory to God. It's all taking place right inside the hidden place. It's all taking place out of the eyes to where the world walks by. Know how many of you have walked by them all of your life and never even seen a one of them? How many of you sitting here today, 50, 60, 70 years old, and have walked right by many of these in this stage and never seen it because it was so hid away from your view and you didn't know what you was looking for? It's the same thing in this word. It can be happening all around us on that end of the pew or that end of the pew, and you're coming there expecting something else when metamorphosis is going on. But one day it reaches that stage and he's growing. Growing, growing inside the cocoon. All of a sudden he, and he splits it. His wings aren't totally developed yet. His lungs, which he didn't have when he was in the other stage. He can't breathe quite right. His antennae is not fully pushed out. So he begins to get his gulp of air. Then he grabs a hold of air. Then he pushes. And when he pushes, his antennae start straightening out. He inflates his own antennas. Sort of like you'll call your own body from the dust of the earth. Children, it's what you're looking at. Will it produce this metamorphosis in you? It's the preacher you're following, the doctrines that you're embracing, your attitude against other churches, the attitude that you hold against other people. Will that produce this metamorphosis in your soul? Are you looking so much? Well, so-and-so hurt me. I'll tell you one thing. You better get your eyes off so-and-so and get your eyes on the mirror of the glory of God. This preacher hurt me. You think I ain't been hurt by preachers?
Preachers have lied on me. Preachers have done everything in the world. But you know what? I'm not wasting my time wallowing in that mess. I've got too much time to feed. I've got too much time to feed so I can blow out my antennae and my lungs can start being able to breathe. God will take care of all that. Can you imagine when he leaves that cocoon? He's still fragile. He's never flown in his existence. He's always held real close to the limb. Just kind of hang on to the limb, afraid of heights. But with that change brought a thought about flying. You imagine as a little old larvae and him sit down there and look up at the skies and say, wow, ain't that something? Man, that's way beyond my reach. But now as a butterfly, and he said, wow, look up there at my new habitat. Wow, look at the new dimensions, the higher heights, the deeper depths that I never knew when I was a Pentecostal larvae. When you started out as a little Baptist larvae, and some of you settled down in your first little free will Baptist church, and you settled down, squatted, and started eating on the cross and talking about the blood of Jesus, you never realized you'd be soaring around this morning in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He takes his little tongue and begins to wet his eyes. For now these big gigantic eyes have developed sort of like microscopes where he has the ability to see. He can see now when he couldn't see like as a Baptist. I mean a larvae. So he licks over his eyes. His antennas blowed out. His wings are now dry from the moisture. And he feels it's time. And he looks around. Looking for a spot. He don't need a runway. He's looking for a spot to take off. This is his first time. You imagine. Jumps up with his little legs. Kicks himself up off the branch. Gravity begins to pull him down. And the first time. From glory to glory to glory. I don't guess I'll ever forget it. That night on Sunday night when I knelt down at that little homeless church. And I started crying and praying. And they come up the altar and beat me on the back. And I was crying and praying. I started his glory. Went down the creek not baptizing titles. Too much glory in that. Wasn't much longer after that. Several months after that, they prayed with me until I got the gift of speaking in tongues. All night long, I spoke in tongues. They packed me home. The next morning, I was still talking in tongues. That's glorious. I thought, man, can it get any greater than this? Glory! Careful now. Careful, you'll fall off the branch. Careful, careful. Little did I know, in me was beauty. In me was wings. In me was an antennae. In me was eyes to see like I could never see as a larvae. Let's stand and raise our wings together in the presence of the King. I don't know if you can comprehend it, friends, but the image which we behold seems to infix itself upon our soul and imprint something on us that we'll never get over. As we look, as we behold, we become transfigured. Instead of it happening like that, it may just start right here. And as you're beholding, the glory is just moving up real, real slow. It's moving up like this. Might be 6 months before it gets up to your wrist. But something happening within you. You're falling in love with Him. Lay this aside and lay that aside. It may be years before you become transfigured
to where your image is totally transformed, because it's a gradual process. I love the way Brother Branham explains it, the scripture that Jesus said, when you say to this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. He says, you may pray, ask God to move that mountain in front of you. You get done praying and say, nothing happened. But he says, you didn't realize it, but on the other side of that mountain, where you couldn't see it, when you prayed, a little rock come tumbling down. The mountain is on its way to be moved. Isn't that amazing that he put it that way, that it was out of our sight? And yet a little bitty tiny rock began to tumble. If you'll believe, it'll move. But if you didn't see the rock and you wait for a week and 2 weeks and three, well, nothing happened. The mountain won't move because you just lost faith. But if you'll believe what you said, then one day you'll see with your natural eye what your soul would be able to see that happened on the other side. Don't you love him? Oh, I appreciate his grace, don't you? Hallelujah. I preached this down at Brother Fred's last Sunday when Rahab began to testify to the spies. She said, we have heard what the Lord God did. We heard what he did when he brought you across the Red Sea. This is 40 years prior to this. And said there was no strength left in any of us. Their enemy was already defeated, and Satan pulled a fastener on the children of Israel. And they were saying what their enemy was saying. There's no strength left in us. We can't do it. There's no way they can do it. How come Caleb knew that? You imagine Caleb was speaking it prophetically. He didn't have to hear them people say that. He knew it. We're more than able to take it. Rahab is confirming this now 40 years later. What Caleb believed in his heart. Oh, people wonder, I want to see this proved. I want to see that proved. I don't have a shadow of a doubt. There'll be many questions that are being asked about this message now. Before we leave here, that'll be proved scientifically and other ways as well. But you realize when it's proved or they can see it with their eyes, it's too late. When the people around Noah was convinced that the ark was right, they were sealed to their damnation. I want to believe it while it's supernatural. The elect catch it before the eye ever sees it. Lord, children, wherever you are in your walk with God, maybe you're that little larvae and you're still feeding. Maybe you've entered into that pupa stage, that silent time of your life. Metamorphosis has been going on for years. You're changing and changing. You say one little thing. Oh my, I used to, this didn't bother you at all. You'd say something rough to people. Oh, get a life. Get next to yourself. But then you realize, wait a minute. That's the body of Christ I'm speaking to. Oh, hallelujah. He that has begun this work of metamorphosis in you will complete it. You believe it? Let's bow this together. The progression is noted in the scripture by the terms that Paul uses. From glory to glory. Not from sinner to glory, which would be one gigantic leap, and that would be the end of it. But it's from glory to glory. Keep growing. Keep eating. Keep assimilating. Be like Caleb. 45 years ago, he said, I'm just as strong today as I was 45 years ago. And I am this day. And the historians say he was 85 years old that day. What a birthday present. We're all fixing to get a new birthday present. When we get a new birthday. Amen. You love him, children, with all your heart. You want to feed. Do you understand what Satan's tactic is to you? Try to have problems in your home, problems in the church, problems on the job, economic problems, political problems, all the riots, all this, that, and other. Don't you understand what a lot of that's for? It's getting ready for the Antichrist. Can't you see why that there's so many unanswered things around us? I believe with all my heart. The reason politics does not have the answer. The black-white issue. That's not an issue if you've got the Holy Ghost. There ain't no way a Holy Ghost-filled person can be a racist. Come on now. No, if you got the Holy Ghost, that takes care of all race problems altogether. But the majority of these people out here don't have it. So that's why they got all these problems. Why is there problems in politics? Why is there problems in NATO? Why is there problems everywhere? Don't you see what it's doing? It's leading up to the headship of the Antichrist. There must come a man on the earth that'll have the answer to race problems. There'll come a man on the earth that'll have the answer to the religious problem. And they'll look and say, my goodness, it's been laying right there all along. He'll be the man. But we've done found the man with the answer. Christ Jesus. But you keep your eyes right on this word. Just keep feeding and eating. And if you're in that stage of the pupa, let the life within you transform itself. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as the metamorphosis is a total denial of Darwin's theory of evolution. Since this little bitty tiny thing with hardly a brain at all would not have the ability through selective breeding and selective choice. How could this little thing decide to annihilate itself within this cocoon and force itself to change its own digestive system? All of its life as larvae, eat plants, leaves, soft vegetation. When it comes out as a butterfly, it never eats another leaf. It sips nectar. Golden nectar. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Lord, then we also, those of us who are truly born again, we produce the theory of what the church would call today a born-again experience. We prove it's totally wrong. Accept Christ as Savior. Go to church. Put your name on the book. How could that ever change me? How could that ever take hate out of us? It can't. But it's something within your elect. Could a dog ever have metamorphosis? A cat? A horse? What if a man looked at this and studied it, figured it out scientifically and said, this is a great idea. I want to metamorphosize myself. I'm going to metamorphosize myself from a rich man to a poor man. I'm going to go in my house and wrap myself up in some blankets and tarps. And when I come out, I'm going to be a rich man. He'll die. If you say, I'm ugly. And when I come out, I'm going to be handsome. It's nonsense. We know. Only those who've been given the power of metamorphosis can change themselves this way. And it's only a select, glory to God, it's only a select number of species that you placed in the creation who has the ability of metamorphosis. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that I'm one of those species. Take the word today we've heard, Father. May it go deep into our hearts. Maybe there's some here, Lord, and they're in between the glory to glory stage. They're going through a trying time in their life. Maybe it's in their body. Maybe from one revelation to another. It's been a while since something is so quick in their heart. Or they're so faithful, they're coming to church, reading the Bible, praying. But Lord, to be honest, if they be honest in their heart, they feel a little down, a little weary, and they don't understand exactly what's going on. But help them to see, Lord, if they'll really take the lives of these prophets as we've been looking at them. The way the Bible condenses it and make it sound like they have one glory after another after another. Well, when we look at it in a time frame, it would be months or years in between Abraham's visitations. We read the book of Genesis and it makes it sound like, well, one was yesterday and one's tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. But it would actually be months or years apart. Jacob's visitations were years apart. Lord Jesus, help us to see. You wrote your example in their lives. Help me, Lord, when I'm in between the glory stages, to be just as faithful. When I'm being tried, when I'm being tested, Lord, help me that I can be just as faithful, just as fervent. Help me, God, that I won't be more fervent in the glory stage. But the fervency is because of births, not because of the mountaintop. Amen. Help us, Lord, to learn to refuse to let our circumstances dictate to us the amount of joy we experience. When joy should be from the inside, not from the outside. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, Lord. How many in this building? Those outstreaming the service today from around the world. You want to be a more victorious Christian in your walk with God. If you're at the larva stage, you want to eat more. Raise your hand to that. If you're at the cocoon stage, you want to just rest and let God, with the law of life inside of you, cause you to enter that stage. Wherever you are, oh my, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, move us from glory to glory. Lord, I remember that first saved feeling. Many of us aren't, even Brother Branham telling us, 1965, just a few weeks before he carried beyond the curtain of time. He said, how I longed to feel like I did when I first got saved. Those mountaintop experiences. What it was, he was in between glories. He'd preached great sermons. The last year of his life had been paramount for the mysteries of God that come out of his mouth. And it was like he'd gone down into a downtime. But that downtime was leading to six dimension time. Glory. It's amazing that he'd say that in his heart. I longed to feel like I did when he first got saved. Those mountaintop experiences. Something was leading him up. He was in between the glories. Oh Lord, forgive me, Lord. I've complained. Forgive me, Lord. I've mumbled and grumbled during those times. Forgive me, Lord. And I feel safe that I can say there's probably more in this building that's done the same thing. Would you forgive us now, Lord? Your presence is here. Would you pardon us, Lord Jesus, for our complaining, our grumbling? May we take those times, Lord, and grow in those times and show our true character. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's take our little wings, as it were, this morning, children. Blow your little antennae out. Take your newborn eyes and let them look around. Who knows? You might see the angels of God here in this place. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let your little wings flutter on your back. Let the moisture dry off as you come out of the cocoon. Oh, it won't be long that we'll feel a sweep come over us. And all of a sudden, well, there's Brother D'Ark. There's Brother so-and-so. And you know, it won't be long. It won't be long. You'll be changed. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Let's just worship him now. Think of it, these hands at one time, many of you held cigarettes, bottles of beer, pornographic magazines, who knows what. But today they can be raised up in the presence of the King. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Curse words used to come out of your mouth and who knows what used to come out of there. And now this morning it's praise, adoration, love. Glory to God. Raise them little wings of yours. Let the beauty of the glory of the Lord spring from you as a new creation. As the woman is the glory of the man, so is the bride the glory of the Christ. We are a proof this morning that Calvary was a success. Hallelujah! Jesus did not die for himself. He died for us. The image of God is being restored in man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord.
The Thank more you, I seek you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
The more I find you.
Keep looking, children. Keep looking. He'll change. He'll change.
The more I find you.
Yes, Lord. Let's just sing a little bit now before we go.
The more I love you. I want to sit at your feet,
yes,
drink
Lord.
From this cup in your hand,
Thank
lay
you,
back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep,
Hallelujah.
It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming.
What
the more I seek you.
Let us look into the image until we're changed from glory to glory.
The more I find you. The more I find you. Father, the more. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming.
The more I seek
you, the more I find you.
My Lord. It's so